Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
So Mark chapter number 4, starting at verse number 35, and here begins the reading of God's holy word. It says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. Amen. And the title that we're going to be working with on today is, we're calling this the perfect storm, the perfect storm. Amen. The perfect storm. And where we are in this particular passage of scripture, we understand toward the beginning of this particular passage of scripture, Christ is actually, you know, there is such a multitude that is coming to hear him teach, as him being the master, as him being the rabbi, so much so that he gets inside a boat or a ship, you know, and he's kind of just, you know, afloat right there, right off the coast of the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret, where he's actually teaching, because the multitude is so great. He's inside the boat that is kind of just drifting afloat right there around the coast of the lake there, per se, that gives him an opportunity to actually speak to the multitudes or to the masses. It's such a multitude that he kind of had to separate himself, thus allowing his position on the water when he would speak, you know, when he his voice coming off of the ship and coming off of the water, it would act as an echo, a microphone, in essence, causing his voice to kind of bounce or betray much, much louder than it actually was. So giving him the opportunity to speak to masses and stuff. And so we understand, as he's speaking to the multitudes, he's speaking a bunch of parables. He's speaking, you know, the mystery of these parables, and he's letting the disciples understand what the parables are. And so we understand one of the main parables that he talked about was the sower who goes to sow the seed, and what happens to the different seeds as the seed is sown into different grounds and different things of that nature right there. So when we look at this, we understand that he himself is the sower, and he is sowing the seed, which is the word. And so we understand, as he's preaching or teaching the word of God here, we understand once he gets alone, the disciples come and they begin to ask him questions. And we told you that your question speaks to your appetite. It lets you know what you're hungry for. And they begin to ask him about the different parables. And so, you know, when it's just him and his disciples, he begins to teach in a more intimate or a manner, breaking things down a little bit more deeper, because he lets them understand, you know, they're going to be some that see and cannot perceive some things. They're going to be those that hear and will not be able to understand what's taking place, you know, concerning these parables. He said, but to you, those that are close to me, to you who understand I am the Messiah, to you who are part of the kingdom, you know, it's given to you to understand the meaning or to have the revelation of what these parables are. So, but those who have not received or embraced Christ as the Messiah, or who have not entered into the kingdom of God, you know, to them it would just be a story, you know. And so we understand a parable, you know, it parallels, it's something in the natural that parallels something in the spirit, right? It's a natural story that has a spiritual meaning behind it. And so as he's giving and speaking these particular parables, like we said, the disciples come and they get a greater or intimate teaching in the presence of Christ, as they have now drawn away from the crowd. And Christ is actually explaining different things to them. And so what's interesting is that, you know, they hear the word, and what we understand is what's supposed to take place, what we're speaking about, this should be a manifestation of everything that we're speaking about, if indeed God is actually giving you that to speak about. And so we see that Christ is speaking about the sower sowing seeds, and he talks about how, you know, the enemy will come and steal the seed out of the hearts of different individuals, or how the seed would be, or the word would be choked out amongst some who received the seed. And so think about this as the message that he's declaring, the message that he's teaching and explaining or preaching and proclaiming, we see it begin to manifest in the lives of the disciple as we get into this particular passage of scripture, right? So I want you to keep that in mind. It's one thing in hearing the word of God, but it's something altogether different when you have the word of God. And I say that because we understand that Christ is the living word of God. So it's not only that the disciples had an opportunity to hear the word, but they also had the word of God in the midst of their presence. And so I want to ask you, what do you do when you have that opportunity to hear the word versus having the word of God? Will you just allow yourself to hear the word, or will you hear the word and then embrace the word, receive the word, meaning you have the word of God? I have it in such a manner that regardless of what comes my way, I will not stop trusting what God said. I will not stop believing what God said. I will stand flat-footed on the word of God because it's not something that I just heard, but I'm able to now do what I heard because I have the word of God. And so we see they had the living word of God. They had Christ in the midst of them. And so jumping down to the scripture says, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And this is the thing, right? They're his hometown or his workplace, which is Capernaum, right? And we understand that they're on the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret. And when they move over to chapter number 5, we understand that he's actually traveling to the other side of the lake where he would end up at the gatherings, right? And so this is how many of us may find ourselves today. And we're still talking about our current series called Breaking Point, right? If you could throw those definitions up when we talk about breaking point, right? We're still talking about breaking point, right? And breaking point is defined as, number one, the point at which a situation becomes critical. Number two, a time or state of affairs requiring prompt or decisive action. The point at which something or someone gives way under strain. And for most of us, we tend to find ourselves in a number of these three right here. For most of us, we find ourselves landing right on number three, where we find ourselves about to give way under the strains or the pressures of life. Amen. And so when you think about this right here, it says, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And again, between the place, as they're on the Sea of Galilee and Lake Gennesaret, they find themselves between Capernaum and the Gadarenes, right? And we told you on last Sunday that Capernaum in the Greek is defined as the village of comfort, meaning, or it's the place of comfort, right? So it's the place of comfort. You find yourself between a place of comfortability and the Gadarenes, which is the reward at the end. So the gatherings is symbolic for the reward. So you either find yourself right in the middle in this particular place where my comfort zone is over here, or my comfortable place is right here, and then I have a reward right here. And it's right here in that middle where the enemy tends to attack you or attack your faith and cause you to give up on what God has said, right? And so the other thing, when we think about this right here, we find ourselves between two places, you know, being on the lake, being on the Sea of Galilee, on Lake Gennesaret, right? And the thing is, when he talks about, okay, we want to pass over to the other side, in the Greek, Passover is talking about to go through. And so look at this right here. While we're in between two places, in order to get from Capernaum to the gatherings, we must go through, or we must pass over the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. So it's something about this place called through right here that many of us find ourselves, we don't want to necessarily go through. When we find ourselves in this particular position between my comfort zone and the reward or the promise that God said, we find ourselves right in that place called through. But because the place called through tends to be very challenging and uncomfortable and frightful and fearful some days, and it's filled with pressure, and it's downright just hard some days, we find ourselves wanting to give up, right? But if I'm going to get or obtain the reward or the promise, I must go through. There is no going around. I must go through. There is no once I'm in it and I pray and ask God to deliver me or ask God to bring me out. No, I must go through. And so most of us, we're trying to avoid going through, right? And think about like this right here. The definition for through is simply defined as in at one side and out at the other side, right? So I'm on one side, but in order to get to the other side, I must go through. There is no avoiding going through to get to the other side. Or definition number two, from the beginning to the end. And see, most of us, when we get in the thing, we experience the beginning of it because we understand this thing is not going the way we want it to, or how we would like for it to go. Or maybe it could be designed a little bit more better or in our favor. We rather give up on the end, right? But the Bible lets us know that God knows the end from the beginning. You have to trust in God that He knows what's best for you. Even though you may be experiencing storms in life, God knows what is best for us, right? And one thing that we would clearly see about these scriptures is that He is omnipotent. He has all power. He doesn't just have power over things that are spiritual, but we will see that He also has power over all natural created things. Amen. So it says, and the same day when the evil was come, He said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side, right? And so let us go through from Capernaum to the Gadarenes. Let us go through, let us move from the place of comfortability through the storm in order to get to the promise of God, in order to get to the fulfilled word of God in our lives. And then He says, and when they had sent away the multitude, right? Because we're talking about this is the perfect storm. And when you talk about the perfect storm, you got to understand it's going to have all of the perfect conditions or the right conditions to make a perfect storm. When you talk about from a meteorologist standpoint or scientifically speaking per se, all of the conditions will be right in order for a perfect storm to actually come about, right? And so I don't want us to look at perfect storm in a negative sense, you know, how the storm can be destructive per se. That's one way to see the storm. But I'm going to try to paint this picture in the manner that, you know, as we like to call our intentional music or our intentional song before we actually comes on, Fred Hammond was letting us know that all things work together for our good. So even this particular storm, where I've had to move from my place of comfortability now en route to getting the promise or the reward from God, sometimes the storm tends to take place while I'm in the middle of trying to get from here to there, while I'm in the middle of trying to fulfill what God said, be who He said I'm supposed to be, do what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes storms just abruptly break out in our lives. But what do you do when these storms abruptly break out in your life? Right? So we're calling this the perfect storm, right? And He said, and when they had sent away the multitude, when you think about this right here, since we're talking about breaking point, right? While you're in that place of going through, most of us, we send the multitude away. In other words, we find ourselves breaking away or breaking apart from people in our lives. And we feel, well, I have to do this by myself. Now, what a deception. God hasn't called you to be alone. Neither has He called me to be alone. He's called us to connect, to be a relationship with people. So anytime you find yourself, you know, and let me drop this little pin right here. There are times that God will call you or pull you along to Himself. But even while God is pulling you along to Himself, it's not as if you still cannot deal with people. It's not as though you still can't be in relationship with people, right? So understand, there were some of us, we just avoid people altogether. We're short with people. We use anger as a defense mechanism to keep people away. Our tones are all jacked up when we talk to people, thereby just pushing people away. Our faces are contorted, again, using as a defense mechanism to push people away. We're just short with people. We don't return phone calls. We don't return texts. You know, all of these different things, because in essence, we're actually pushing people away, trying to deal with things on our own. But the reality, you need people. As much as you feel you don't, and as bad as you think you Superman or Superwoman, though, the truth is, no, you need people in your life. Yes, you do. So it says, and when they had sent the multitude away, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships, right? And so again, I speak to the relationship aspect, because even when we talk about our relationship, rated E for everyone, right? We talked about ship, the word ship on the end of relationship. Ships were designed as vessels to take you from one place to the next place. And we see even in the scripture how this particular ship is taking them from Capernaum to the other side, to the Gadarenes. So relationships are designed to take you from one destination in your life to another destination life. So they're designed to take you to better places in your life. And if the relationships are not doing that, then you might need to question the relationship that you are actually involved in, right? Instead of breaking away, you need to actually find yourself hooking up with the right people, or so that you can have healthy, proper relationships and not the toxic kind of relationships, you know? Not the relationships based upon, okay, you know, friends with benefits. Not them, not them type of relationships, but healthy, proper relationships, you know, where the truth be told, in healthy, proper relationships, we're going to fall out sometimes. Everything is not going to always be like we're walking over a bed of roses. No, some days we're going to fall out. You're going to correct me and I'm going to correct you. You're going to tell me off probably and I'm going to tell you off, but at the end of the day, we're going to come right back together, right? Because we understand this is good for us. This is good for us. It's that thing called tough love. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough not to leave you in this place where you think this is actually good for you when it's really not. That's a healthy, proper relationship. So you got to get to the place where you stop breaking away from everybody. Right. And then the other thing is we understand that they're in the ship. And then before we drop down into the next verse, we understand because they're in the ship, the destination or the purpose is to get to the other side. So then you find them breaking away from land, breaking away from what is stability. Right. And that's most of us. You find yourself, you breaking away from the stable things in your life. When you break away from those healthy relationships, you're breaking away from stability. The land and those, okay, those things that are stable, those things that cause you to be able to stand flat footed, or it represents something that is firm in your life. And so we find ourselves breaking away from these particular things while we're en route trying to get to the promise, because it's in the place of through that we find ourselves dealing with confusion. It's in the place of through that we find ourselves dealing with a chaos and fear and anxiety and worration and all these things, whether we begin to doubt God or we begin to struggle with whether or not God is going to fulfill what he said. And this is, it's in this place called through where time tends to get the best of us, right? Imagine being in a storm, right? And you've heard people who've actually been, who lived through traumatic moments of being in hurricanes and tornadoes, violent storms, and they say, okay, even though the storm, let's just say take a tornado, a powerful storm system, right? It can last anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes, right? But the people, because they say of the imminent danger that's going on, you know, the chaos that they are thrown into the midst of, you know, the swirling winds, the dark clouds and debris and all these different things that is flying and being hurled around, you know, houses are being torn apart, buildings are being torn apart, cars are being swamped, you have water that is constantly moving, all these different things that are taking place. People have described that traumatic moment, although it was a short span of time, they say it felt like it was an hour. I felt as if I was watching my life go by before my eyes. All these different things, how they begin to describe such a traumatic or fearful moment, right? So it's in these places, this place called through, where we have a traumatic moment, where we experience storms and all of these different things, where we question whether or not God is going to do it. Will God remain faithful? But it's in this place called through. And so what I'm telling you is you got to stop disconnecting from your stability in life. Sometimes people, sometimes certain relationships are anchors for you in life. You need them. Right? So we understand that they're breaking away from the multitude as well as breaking away from the land. It's denoting this breaking point. These are different breaking points in the scripture, right? Now, granted, there are going to be sometimes where you must, it is an absolute must that you break away from certain people because it's unhealthy for you. Y'all are not equally yoked. Y'all are believing the same. Yeah, y'all don't believe. I should say y'all don't believe the same things. And I'm not saying you can't be a friend, you know, with someone who's not a believer per se. But if their thinking or their beliefs are tending to influence you, swaying you from what you know to be the truth, that is God's word, then it's time that you disconnect from that. So absolutely, there are going to be times where you have to disconnect from certain people that you thought were stable. So it says, okay, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Now, this is the thing. When we look at this, they took him even as he was in the ship. We understand when the chapter opens up, he's in the ship and he's teaching, right? And so he's teaching a great portion of the day because it talks about they took him even as he was, right? When the even was come. And verse number 35 talks about the same day when the evening was come. So when the day has become to the even portion of the day, the evening portion of the day, he was teaching up until the evening portion of the day. So he has exuded a lot of virtue. He has given out a lot of strength from his particular body, right? And so they said they took him even as he was, tired and exhausted, and they went into the ship. Now, this is the thing. Knowing that he wants to go over, because he tells them in verse number 35, let us pass over to the other side, right? No one goes and makes provision. No one goes and makes preparations for what, well, you know what I'm saying? What will we need when we get to the other side? There is no provision being made. We just take him as we are. We take an exhausted Savior, one who's just poured out of himself. Mind you, nobody laid hands and prayed on him and asked God to restore virtue, replenish his strength, none of that stuff. But we're just going to take this exhausted God, the three anthropos, the God man, you know, who's fully God in the spirit, but who's also fully God in the natural. We're going to take him as he is tired and exhausted, and we're about to just dip on out to the other side. And this is the thing. It's not just Christ and his disciples, as the scriptures lets us see. And there were also with him other little ships that he now must be responsible for. And the thing is, maybe these other little ships were as close to the ship that he was in due to the fact that it was such a great multitude. And maybe these people were fishermen like some of his disciples, or maybe they just had some money, you know, and they were able to afford a ship and able to get close enough to hear him. So nevertheless, these little ships are accompanying him as he's going through. So guess what? I want you to understand, the enemy tries to paint that picture that you're the only one going through something, but guess what? It may not be the exact same thing that you're going through, but guess what? There are other people going through. There are other people in a place called through, just like you. And they're trying to come out of their comfortable place, all right? They're stepping out on faith, trying to trust God and believe God for what he said, just like you. See, some of them are stepping out on the fact that they heard a word. They got enough faith to step out just on hearing the word, but you didn't just hear the word. You heard the word. That you have the word. You understand what I'm saying? And this is my thing. Some of them, they just heard the word, but they had enough faith to come on out here in the deep with Christ himself. So you're not the only one that is going through, because the enemy will make you believe that you're the only one going through what it is that you're going through. Well, I've heard them say, guess what? It's always somebody going through a little bit something worse than what you're going through. So you ought to just bless God for whatever it is that you're going through, because it can always be worse. You understand? And my thing is, I see how it could be worse just looking at this particular passage of scripture. The fact that although these other ships are accompanying him, only one ship has the Messiah on it, and that is the ship with the disciples. So guess what? For these other little ships, I can only imagine that it is actually worse than it is with us who have the disciple with us. Y'all not gonna help me right there. You understand what I'm saying? So stop letting the enemy deceive you, making you think nobody understands what you're going through. No, we may not understand it exactly situation right there, but we know a little something about going through. We know a little something about being in the middle of a storm. We know a little something about when our faith and our trust is being tried by the enemy. We know a little something about having to break away from people, finding ourselves being isolated. We know a little something about, you know what I'm saying, being in a stable place, and now I'm in an unstable place, being on this water right here, and the wind is blowing, and it's causing the boat to rock because of the wind pushing on the waves. So we know a little something about being unstable, trying to trust God, trying to believe God, but I'm a little shaky on what he said. You understand? I'm trying to throw every scripture that I can remember into out of my arsenal when I pray, you know, when I give God praise, and it seems like the scriptures and my praise and my present assessments are not working, and I still find myself feeling like I'm a little shaky out here. But tell somebody, it could be a little worse, but the Messiah is in the ship with me. He's not necessarily in the ship over here, although they are accompanying us, although they're going to the other side. But he's in the ship. He's in the boat with me. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. It says, and there was also with them other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, right? So understand this, right? When you think about all of a sudden, it just appears, because the Bible doesn't let us know that, you know, black clouds begin to form over the lake and all of these different things, that there was a gathering of clouds and there was a storm brewing and all these different things. See, I've experienced that. I can recall a time that I went deep sea fishing with one of my cousins off of the pier of the Atlantic coast, right? And I can recall as a teenager fishing out here, you know, witnessing how a storm just out of nowhere, it was bright and sunny all that morning, then all of a sudden, just a couple hours into fishing, off of the coast of the Atlantic, you saw all of a sudden a storm, just dark clouds just came out of nowhere. And you saw this storm just rush in to the coast. And I saw it was a fast moving storm. So if you're like me, there are times you may catch the news and you may try to figure out and understand what the weather is going to be for the particular day and all these different things. You may hear meteorologists talking about a fast moving storm, things of that nature right there. So there indeed are fast paced moving storms that actually take place that can still can cause significant damage, right? This is what was taking place. The scripture says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So this storm just came out of nowhere. It was a fast-paced moving storm that just appeared out of nowhere, right? And this is the thing. I begin to get curious about this thing is because God began to speak certain things, you know, scientific terms to me, and I was just like, God, I don't even have a clue what that even means, you know? Just bear with me, right? So it says that there arose a great storm of wind. It's a storm of wind, right? Now, wind is defined as the movement of air relative to the surface of the earth, right? It also says wind plays a significant role in determining and controlling climate and weather. Climate and weather, two different things, right? But wind plays a significant role in determining and controlling climate and weather. Right. So this is the thing. When in essence, what we're really looking at in this particular passage of scripture, there was a breaking point where the disciples are moving from a place of faith, Capernaum, that stable place, that comfortable place, to trying to get to the place of the reward. Right. Well, now it's a breaking point where they're moving from a place of faith to a place of fear. Do you know somebody and can you relate where you were once faithful, you were full of faith, you just trusted God, you believed God for whatever it was. Matter of fact, you were deaf for or asked for, you know, give me a prayer request. What can I pray for you about? You understand what I'm saying? But now you ain't really asking nobody what can you pray about for them. You understand? Because you struggle with getting your own prayers answered. And then there were some of us, you find it easier to pray for other folk, but the difficulty is actually trusting God for what God said about your life. It seems like, God, I can get a prayer through for their life, but when it comes to my life, God, it seems like, God, I don't have the faith to pull in the promise for my own life. You understand? Either you're going to find yourself in one of those two places. You understand what I'm saying? But understand, there was a breaking point in the lives of the disciples where they were breaking away from faith and now found themselves going through to a place called fear. Right. And so we understand that the wind it plays a significant role in determining and controlling the climate and the weather. So I want to ask you, what is the climate of your intercession? What is the climate of your praise? What is the climate of your worship life? What is the climate of your obedience life? What is the climate of your submitted life? What is the climate of your relationship between you and God? What is the climate of your faith? Is you're supposed to be living a faith-filled life. What is the climate of your faith? And we understand the wind plays a significant role in determining and controlling the climate and the weather. We understand that Satan, he is the prince of the power of the air. Have you allowed Satan to blow into your life of faith? And if he's blowing into your life of faith, I'm trying to ask you, what does your life look like when this fast-moving storm moves in while you're in the place called through? All right. Now, we say the perfect storm because it has the right conditions. All of the conditions are right, meaning, you know, the atmospheric pressure. See, that's one of those terms that God has spoke to me, and I don't have a clue what this is about. Well, the atmospheric pressure is talking about when gravity is actually pulling down, there is the weight of the air itself, right? And then the air has a weight that it pushes down on or all those things in between the earth rim as gravity is pulling down. So it's the, in essence, in other words, it's the pressure of the air or the weight of the air that is bearing down. So when storms come, there is a pressure that air has in your life, right? So if Satan is the prince of the air or the power of the air, when he speaks, there is a weight that has now come into some of our lives. And this is not the weight of the glory of God. You understand? It is a false glory getting you to believe or trust, you know, the opposite of what God has shown you, or believe and trust the opposite of what God has spoken to you, thereby causing you to break away from faith, move into a place of fear, right? So we understand in order for the perfect storm to actually come about, the conditions must be right. And so, you know, one thing we talk about is atmosphere pressure, then there is temperature, and then there is wind, and et cetera. All of these different things plays a major component in the development of a perfect storm. Now, the perfect storm, we could consider a Hurricane Katrina the perfect storm. It had all the necessary ingredients to become a Cat 5 hurricane, but by the time it reached landfall, a Category 4 type hurricane causing mass destruction in the city of New Orleans and out the Gulf Coast of Louisiana. So all these different things, it had all the perfect conditions. The temperature was just right. And when we look inside your relationship with God, your relationship with people, if we were to measure the temperature, what would the temperature be like? For most of us, it's 38 hot. It's too hot, you understand? Because you always find yourself just blowing off some steam. You know, I'm heated and all these different things. I'm just mad. I'm bored and all these different things. The temperature is not right. The ideal temperature is not there. You understand? Or there's just wind. You're talking a bunch of worthless talk, just talking just to be heard, just being sarcastic, just being unforgiving, just being difficult to deal with. You understand? Just being unapologetic. You understand what I'm saying? Just being, you know, loose with your lips, speaking idle words. You understand? Just trying to cause a little bit of hurt and pain, just stabbing for, pricking for with your words. You understand what I'm saying? All of these things begin to take place as the perfect storm is brewing. And you understand we are not where we used to be. We used to be in this place of comfortability in Capernaum, but guess well, you have had to break away from the comfortable place. You are in the place called through. You're actually going through. But while we were in the place called through, trying to make our way to the gatherings, to the place of the promise, or to the place of the road, a fast-moving storm has come. It just came out of nowhere. You ever find yourself conversations were going good, and then somebody said the wrong thing? I didn't mean to say that. You understand? Then we get all deep in spirit. No, you didn't mean to say that, because the Bible says, the Bible still have the mouth that's going to speak. You understand? It just came out wrong. It came out wrong. It was an honest mistake. You understand? And I'm not saying the word is lying. I'm not saying the word is lying. Because there's some days you can mess up some stuff trying to say what you actually mean. You understand? And that thing can get taken out of context. It can be misinterpreted because of it being taken out of context or being misinterpreted. Now all of a sudden you got a storm that you didn't see no clouds off in the distance. But all of a sudden you are now on the black clouds, and there's a heavy torrential rain just coming down. I'm talking about a hard rain coming down. Winds are blowing, and you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Well, all of these things are taking place. You're just trying to survive this particular moment. You understand what I'm saying? So you find yourself saying, listen, well, okay, I apologize. I don't even want to talk. Let's don't even talk about it. Let's pause for the cause, because see, we let the devil come in. You understand what I'm saying? In the book of 2 Corinthians, where it talks about how, because if we don't forgive, and we find ourselves not in a place of forgiving, right? And you operate in unforgiveness, right? The Bible talks about how you give Satan an advantage. And most of us are trying to figure out why the devil has an advantage on you. You praying, I'm talking about you walking back and forth, sweating, and all of these different things. And you got the word open, quoting scripture. You understand what I'm saying? Reading straight from the Bible, but it seems as if the enemy is not moving, he's not backing up. Why? Because you have given the enemy an advantage due to your unforgiveness. There's a storm. Not on its way. The storm is here. You are in the midst of the storm, and the storm is bearing down upon you, right? Things are being moved. Things are being tossed. Things are being thrown all over the place, right? The storm is turning your life upside down, but you got to remember, I have the Messiah in the ship with me. I'm not like the other little ships where they just accompanying, and they're with the Messiah per se. But they're with him at a distance, but he's in the same ship with me. And this is the thing. It talks about, it says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillar, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Again, this speaks to the same mindset that the man who had the infirmity 38 years had. His mind was so focused on the pool of Bethesda, just like their minds, the disciples, the mind of the disciples is focused on this particular storm, not even taking into account that he's with us, right? Now, I understand that they went to him, you understand, but they're going to him out of fear, right? But if I know he was there, like he told us, even when he ascended back to the Father, he tells the disciple, listen, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end, right? So he is there. He may not be in the physical like he is with the disciples right now, but we understand through the word of God that we have and through the spirit of God that we have, God is always with us, right? And so if you know this, meaning you are confident in what you know, how you go to him will be different, right? Versus coming to him in a manner where you're full of fear and panic, which is how the disciples came, because he was asleep. And he had good reason to be asleep. My thing is, although he was asleep, it does not mean that he was unaware of the storm that was taking place. But he understood, I am Jesus the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I'm not just God over the spiritual things, but I'm God over the natural things. You understand what I'm saying? You must understand that I'm God over the natural things. All things come subject to me. I am the omnipotent one. I am the one with all power in my hand. You must understand that. I'm not confused about who I am right now because of the storm and right now because of the place that you are in, that place called through. You have seen somehow became confused about who I am. You got to understand I'm here, not just that I'm here, but also know who I am. I am the omnipotent one. This is the awakening and sent unto the master. Carest thou not that we perish? Their mind is on the storm rather than mind being on. We have the Savior of the world with us. We have the Redeemer of the world with us. We have a great defender right here in the same ship with us. But I know you understand, if you've ever had a moment of fear, fear can cloud your judgment. Fear can make you do and say impulsive things, right? Things that you would never do if you were in your right mind. Things that you would never do had you not experienced this level of fear, right? And this is what's going on. They experiencing such a level of fear that it has to not even conscious of the fact that the Savior of the world is there. They're just focusing on the storm and whether or not will we make it out of this. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? God, will I survive this storm right here? Because I know you told God, I can't take another thing. And the truth of the matter is, another thing probably hasn't made it to your life yet because this storm, you feel like this storm is going to be the thing that takes you out of here. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this storm. You understand? And then there were some of us, you say, God, and when I get out of this, if I make it through this, God, I'm going to bless your name in such a way because of how devastating the storm has been, because of how many things the storm has torn up and torn apart in your life. You understand, when I get out of this, God, I'm going to give you such a praise. I'm going to bless your wonderful high name. Yes, I am. Your wonderful high name. So it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, when I begin to look at this, it talks about he got up, you know, responded to their terror, their fright, their anxiety, right? So it says he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Now, this is the thing. Peace in the Hebrew, the Hebraic, a picture word for peace talks about, or it means to destroy the authority that establishes chaos, right? To destroy the authority that establishes chaos. And so we understand the storm or the windstorm is the source of this established chaos. It is the authority that is now roaming right now, or that is moving right now, or that is causing such devastation, or that is bringing about the fear and the lives of the disciple right now. So for Christ, and for order for Christ to bring a peace, he has to rebuke. He must destroy the authority. So we see as he rebukes, and this is the thing, notices, he rebukes the storm, but he speaks to the sea. And so this nugget that I'm going to drop on you right here, you better know what to rebuke, and you better know what to speak peace to. You better know what to rebuke, and what to speak peace to. He understood, I must rebuke this windstorm, but I must speak peace to the sea. The sea is only roaring and the waves are only voices the way they are because of this chaotic authority that's coming from the windstorm. So let me rebuke this chaotic windstorm and say, peace be still to the sea. Because you're the means by which the sea, meaning you're the means by which we must get to the other side. So let me speak peace to the sea, right? Because we're going to have a peaceful journey from here on out. You got to tell somebody right there, I know what to rebuke, because for a long time, I've been rebuking the wrong thing. I've been rebuking folk, but the reality, my natural eyes saw the folk, but Ephesians tells me, guess what? There is something spiritual at work behind these natural folk. You understand? It's spiritual wickedness in high places. You understand what I'm saying? So you better start rebuking people and rebuke that demonic force. You understand? Yeah. You better know what and who to rebuke and what and who to speak peace to. Well, with some, I bind the devil. Be specific. What devil are you binding? I bind the devil. What devil? Out of all the confusion and chaos and turmoil that you're doing, what devil? And you wonder why this devil has not backed up or this devil has not came subject, because he said, okay, well, who is he talking to? The spirit of rebellion, the spirit of conversion, the spirit of lust, the spirit of adultery, the spirit of idolatry. All I'm looking at each other saying, who is he talking to? He didn't call my name. Did he call your name? Well, see, he didn't call my name because names mean something. Since he didn't call my name, we got free course. We still can do as we please. No, you better know who and what to rebuke and what to speak peace to. Stop just being so general and be specific. Stop just, I bind you. What devil needs to be bound up? What devil needs to be dealt with? What devil needs to be spoken to in a voice and a place of authority? Which devil? You don't know? Get in prayer. God, open my eyes. Let me see which enemy, God, is attacking, God. Which enemy, God, has been loose on assignment in my life, in the life of my children? Which enemy has been loose on assignment to come against my marriage, God, to come against our finances, God, to come against our health and our body? Which enemy has been set loose, God? Is this something generational, God? Is this something in the bloodline, God? Is it because of the region that I'm in, God? What enemy has been loosed in my life, God, so I can speak directly to it? You better know what to rebuke and what to speak peace to. So he said, peace be still. And then notice, after he rebuked the source of the chaotic authority, he did follow by saying, peace be still. And the scripture declares, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. Because he understood, I know what to rebuke. I'm going straight to the source of the chaotic authority, and that is the windstorm. And see, most of us, we throwing prayers out there, God, I bind the devil, I bind the devil. Yeah, it's all good that you pray. But my thing is, he's such an all-knowing God. He has infinite wisdom. Why he can't tell me exactly who to speak against? What to pray against, what to pray for, instead of me just, you know, hoping, casting out here, hoping I'm gonna hit something, or throwing darts up to heaven, hoping I'm gonna hit something. Why you can't tell me to have a targeted, what I should be praying, so that I can have a targeted prayer, God? The reality is not because God doesn't have the information, it's because most of us don't have the faith to believe that God would speak this intimate or this detailed to us. And the number of times where God has spoken this detail to us, it wasn't necessarily about nobody else. He spoke that detail to you about you. And because he spoke that detail to you about you, it backed you up and wanted to hear that much detailed prayers anymore. So now you want to pray these surface prayers, these half-hearted prayers, God, but just give me a half-hearted answer, God. Just give me something so I know I have a roundabout thing I know I should be praying about. No, God, he's a God of detail. He's a God of definition. Matter of fact, you got definition and meaning in your life when you came to know him. So guess what? If he can bring definition and meaning into your life, why can he not give you the details of what and who you should be praying against? It's praying the devil. And most of us, when we say devil, most of us have in mind Satan. You ain't even on Satan level. Satan is coming at the folk like Elisha and Jeremiah and Paul. He ain't coming after you. Folk like, he even came for Judas, the betrayer, because he understood the role that Judas must play in the life of Jesus. Satan ain't coming for most of y'all like that. You're not on his level. No. So stop talking about the devil, have it in mind, talking about Satan. It is not Satan who you should be rebuking. It's the spirit of fear. It's the spirit of anxiety. It's the spirit of lust, right? It's the spirit of witchcraft. All of these different things that you should be speaking to. And stop just talking about the devil. That's what you, that and who should you, that's what you should be rebuking. So he said, after he rebuked the source of this chaotic authority, that being the windstorm, he then said, peace, be still. And there the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Notice how the scriptures describes the calm. It was a great calm. A great calm. When was the last time you can even say you had calmness in your life? Peace in your life. Rest. He's showing you that, hey, there are going to be times you need rest. But when was the last time you were able to rest? Most of us, you still sleeping. There is no rest. You're just sleeping. You're going to bed at 10 o'clock, getting up at 7 o'clock, and you still feel just as exhausted before you got into bed because you're merely sleeping and not resting. There is a difference between resting and sleeping. Although you sleep and you're using all kind of pills, and Tylenol PM and NyQuil PM and melatonin to help assist you to get to sleep and all these different things, some of us muscle relaxers, you understand, to help us get to sleep, but you still wake up the next morning exhausted because while you were trying to sleep and while these different substances was trying to assist you and aid you, you know what? You could not turn off. You could not shut your mind off. Your mind was still racing. You understand what I'm saying? If you're like me, your mind just it's just going. You understand? You lying still in bed, but your mind is still moving. You understand? Your body is at peace in bed, but your mind is just, it's like it's running. And it's running for its life. And, you know, like the song said, running, don't look back. Your mind is running. But instead of not looking back, your mind says, just keep looking back. You understand? Because it's remembering all the things that you experienced throughout the day and all the things that you failed to accomplish and all the things that you think, okay, I could have did this. I could have been better at this. Your mind is constantly reminding you of how you failed and came up short. And it becomes so difficult to bring this thing to a place of silence. Oh, but then guess what? The reality, some days the storm is in your mind. You got to rebuke. I rebuke this chaotic storm in my mind. Oh, yes, 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 yes. This chaotic storm of ungodly thoughts, I rebuke it. So you must know what to rebuke. And then I speak peace to my mind. I will be able to rest. My mind will stop racing. Oh, yes. My mind will not be filled with anxiety. My mind will not be filled with fear and doubt and unbelief. No, I rebuke this ungodly storm of ungodly thoughts, and I speak peace to my mind. I command the peace of God to be still over my mind, in my mind. He says, because then there was a great calm. And then it says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no fear? And this is, that's the question he asked them. Why are you so fearful? And this is, again, what we say, the breaking point that takes place in the lives of the disciple, where they're breaking away from the place of fear, or faith, I should say, and where they're now moving through to the place of becoming so fearful. And he responds, and this is after he has rebuked the storm, spoke peace to the sea, and a great calm. He then said, why are you so fearful? In other words, okay, the storm is gone. Come and help us preach it, Kirk Franklin. The storm is over now, but you are still full of fear, as if you're still in the midst of the storm. And I understand the trauma of what I just experienced. You can still be trying to get through the trauma of what I just experienced. Listen, I know you the Christ and all. You got all power. You were not afraid of the wind, and you didn't. You just knew. This is the thing. When we talk about the mindset of it, because their mind was on the storm and their mind was on whether or not they were going to live and not on Christ. Christ understood, I'm on the ship with you. I have a destiny and a purpose too. Do you really think that my Father is going to let my destiny and purpose be swallowed up by a storm? Well, I'm about to be at the bottom of this lake. Do you really think that my Father is about to just let that happen? Not just to me, but to you. Oh, no. So that's why Christ had no worry in the manner that the disciples had to worry. That's why Christ had no fear in the manner that the disciples had, because he understood my destiny and my purpose, they are both in the hands of the Father. And I understand I'm the living word that was spoken from his mouth, and he's watching over it, because guess what? I cannot return back to him for it. Oh, but I must accomplish what he sent me out to do. So guess what? I don't care how many storms he sent my way. I don't care if the boat is turned over, baby. Guess what? It cannot take me out. I cannot die until my appointed time for me to return back to the Father. So guess what? You are here with me. Why are you so afraid? Your destiny and your purpose is connected or tied to me. So he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why have you broken away from the place of faith in this place called through? It is here where you actually need your faith the most. So it appears, you know what I mean? Even when you're in a place of comfortability, you need your faith. Even when you get to the place of the rewards, you need your faith. But it would seem and appear that you would need your faith the most in this place called through. And so he's saying, where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? And faith is defined in the Greek as the conviction that God exists, right? And that he is the creator and the ruler of all things. Had they had the faith in Jesus, they would have understood those storms come and go. He rules the storm that comes in my life. Yes. He is the ruler, the creator and ruler of all things. He has the power over the storm, as he demonstrated just by merely speaking to it, rebuking it. He proved that my faith is what it was, that he exists and that he is the creator and ruler of all things. He had power over the storm. So he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Do you know somebody who can you relate where you find yourself in that place called through right here? Just fearful. Is God going to do it? Fearful. Will it ever happen? Just fearful. It's never going to happen. It's been too long since you said what you said, God. Just fearful. I'm older now, God. I thought when you said what you said, God, it would have happened, God, when I had energy and when my body was able to handle what you said, God. And I'm looking at myself and I'm getting old and I'm saying, God, how can this be? You know, will it ever be? It don't like it will ever happen, or at least it's not going to happen for me, although it may happen in the lives of other people. Will it happen for me? Just fearful. And he's saying, how is it that you have no faith? He followed up the question with, how is it that you have no faith? Even if you question, because God has no problem with you questioning him. Oh, thank you, David, King David, and thank you, Prophet Jeremiah, for showing us how you can go and ask God questions and showing us how you can go and pour your complaints out before God. He has no problem with it. So even though you question God, my thing is, after you question, how is it that you have no faith? Because the mere fact that you spoke what was troubling you, you got it out your heart because you spoke, and it's still difficult for you to believe, how is it that you have no faith? Look at the other ships where Christ is not aboard the other ship, but guess what? They're all safe because they were in the presence of the Most High God. How is it that you have no faith when you actually have the word? You didn't just hear it like the other ships. They heard the word, and the fact that they heard the word kept them, but you heard the word and you have the word in your presence. How is it that you have no faith? There are people over in third world countries that don't have the Bible you have, but they stand and they trust that God is God and that the glory of God is going to be revealed and seen in the earth realm, that God is going to do marvelous things in their lives and in their countries and in their ministries and all these different things. You have the word. You have the liberty to give God praise. How is it that you have no faith? God is moving in the lives of people that's connected to you close in your vicinity. How is it that you have no faith? This is the thing. The storm is long over now. He said, and they feared exceedingly. After there was a great calm. After there was a great calm, they still feared exceedingly. And said one to another, what manner of man is this? And even the wind and the sea obeyed him. Now, the scriptures kind of give us an indicating factor that this exceeding fear kind of steeps over to the fact that they are such a place of terror, but at the same time, it's such a place of awe. I am so in awe of how this man had the ability to speak to the wind and the sea, and they obey him. They came subject to him. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. He's God. He's the God man. He's the Theanthropos, fully God, yet fully man at the same time. And he has all power in his hand. As the spiritual God, but also as the natural God. He had all power in his hand. Well, he proved that he was omnipotent, but he had all power. Something that you can feel and you can actually hear at times, that being the wind, but you can't see it. But he had power over it. This raging sea, he had power. Your faith is proof of this, that he exists. Your faith is the proof that he exists and that he is the creator and the ruler of all things. Why are you in that place called through? Listen, it's just a short boat ride across the Sea of Galilee or the Lake Genesaret to get to the gathering where the reward is, but we understand that he's going to set a demoniac free who's been bound by legion, and this man's whole life is about to change. Listen, if you want to get that reward, you have to go through. There is no avoiding some of the storms that are going to come in your life. And some of these storms are going to be the perfect storm. We said the perfect storm because it has all of the right conditions to do what? To get you to back to praying and interceding, to get you back to praising God, to get you back to worshiping God, to get you back to trusting God like you once did before. That's why we're calling it the perfect storm, because it has all the right ingredients to get your focus and your attention back on God, to believe that God is the creator and to believe that God is the ruler and has power over all things. That's why it's the perfect storm. It is designed to shift your focus, to shift your attention back on Him. And we see all of the disciples came out of fear. Nevertheless, their attention was shifted on the Messiah. So the perfect storm, having all the perfect ingredients. Sometimes there was some arguments. I'm telling you, y'all are going to get so heated. But one of y'all are going to walk away and go lay on your face and pray for real. I was like, you're going to have a bad fallout. That thing is going to mess with your heart so bad. You're going to go and get on your face and pray. You're going to have a moment where you feel like, you know what, God, my faith failed me. You didn't ask me. You didn't do it, God. But it's going to push you to go and trust God, to seek Him even the more, to call on His name in such a greater manner, to release your faith in a greater manner. So it's part of the perfect storm because it has all of the ingredients to shift your attention and focus back on Him. To get that fire back in your prayer. To get that excitement back in your brain. To get that sincerity and humility back in your work. thereby bringing such a zeal where you are excited about God and excited about the things of God all over again. Don't run from the storm, go through the storm, because they tell me in the middle of the storm there is something called the eye, where everything around the eye is chaotic, boisterous, and dangerous. But if you give it the eye of the storm, you can find peace. Matter of fact, when you think about military ships and things that I think that try to come into harbor with different storms, the protocol says they can't even come and anchor down in the harbor. They must go out towards the storm. Yeah, they must go toward the storm. Why? If you can make it to that eye. If you can get around it, but I understand for you, there is no getting around this storm. You must go through it. Stop trying to avoid going through. It is for your benefit. It is for your betterment. It is for your growing. Some days it's even going to be for your breaking. But as Fred Hammond let us know in our intentional music, it's working together for your good. This storm is working together for your good. That storm is working together for your good. After you come out of it, you're probably going to go into another storm, but it's working together for your good. Come out your comfort place. Go ahead on through so you can get to the other side and get to the place of the reward. Amen. Amen, amen. We thank God for the word. Amen. I want to encourage you. Don't just hear the word, but be doers of the word. But hear the word, embrace the word, receive the word. Hear the word and have the word. So that no matter what storm comes in life, because you have the word with you, you can endure that storm. Matter of fact, you can speak to that storm. The God in you. Mary, Mary says, it's the God in me. The God in you can rise up and speak and rebuke that storm and command peace to be still. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name.